how many people are looking forward to seeing, if you haven't already seen, the first showing of the new movie After Death. It premiered yesterday, actually, Friday. I think it would have been more appropriate if they would have premiered the movie, I don't know, like around Thanksgiving? I don't know, like right before Halloween? I don't know, I just don't think it really, I don't know. It's going to be interesting because, you know, there are people who are skeptics, and then there are those who are believers, and then there are those who have went through things that could never be explained, but can never be denied of what you experience. Your experience is your experience, and I do believe that people do experience after death, experiences in life. There are people, I believe, in each generation, they have a gift to be able to connect with loved ones and those who have passed on. I definitely 1,000,000,000% believe that. There are people who have a gift to see things that can't be explained. I think this is going to be a great movie. They had worked on this movie for a long time, getting people's stories together, and, you know, from those who've experienced after afterlife, you know, events and have seen things, and then there are those who experience the other side of not so great things. And I've always said, and I always believe, there's a heaven and there's a hell, but I'm looking forward to seeing the movie. I'm going to be seeing it today, later this evening, and then doing a review on the movie for Angel Productions. So I'm looking forward to the movie, but I've had my own, and I know I've shared this before, I've had my own personal experiences throughout life. So it's going to be interesting to see if there are people who have had similar experiences. And the thing is those who've experienced, most would say the unexplainable, but, you know, when you experience something, there's nothing that's unexplainable. It's easy to be explained when you go through things in life. You're always going to have skeptics. These are usually people who have never experienced anything unique or, I'm going to say special gift, to be able to connect or to be able to see things and to know that there's definitely life after death, you know? But you'll have the skeptics that, you know, will deny no matter what you go through. You know, I've had those skeptics throughout my life. You know, even people that are like, I grew up with, you know, that would deny things that I've experienced firsthand, that there would be no other explanation for things that I've gone through and been able to see that I shouldn't be seeing. But it's going to be interesting to see, you know, because there was a part, I was talking to a couple people yesterday, and there's a couple, like, really big things in my life that I've talked about a little bit through the podcast over the years, and maybe even on the blog throughout the years, and there's, like, two really big events. One was when my aunt passed away, and as I was holding her hand, I could feel her pass through me. And it literally felt as if I left the room and I saw visually. I couldn't explain it. And the thing is it really freaked me out to where I was so shocked at what I saw and where she went. And I know she went to heaven, but to see part of what it's like and what people experience after they pass, and that I did not want to leave her hand. It was very, it's still really hard to explain. I had to talk to numerous people in clergy, a couple people actually in clergy, and other people I knew throughout when that had happened. And this was in, was it my late 30s maybe? Early 40s, when this had happened. And it was shocking. I saw things that, I never thought I would ever see in my life. I just remember a pastor telling me, and a priest, that you have seen something that we sometimes see, that are blessed enough to see, which is, you know, part of heaven and, you know, the beginning of and where the spirit goes, and not many people get to see that. But it is very, very, very the same what people see and experience. In my personal experience, it was completely, there was no sound. It was just this really, 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 really vivid, like, I don't even want to say being in a tunnel. And it was so fast that it was so peaceful, but there was no music. And just see the, what do you want to say, the person, just, I want to say this, I would think that now that I'm older, I believe the spirit, you know, the energy of my aunt. And literally just pushed me back, like, can't go any further, you got to go back. I didn't want to go back. This is not the first experience throughout my life. When I had my last, I had a major, major surgery, my last major surgery, and had a very spiritual surgeon. He's a trauma surgeon, head surgeon. And then I had another surgeon who was director of OBGYN in another major hospital. And, you know, my main surgeon is a trauma surgeon, a lead surgeon for a hospital group. And he believes in prayer, you know, before surgery. And we did prayer a couple of times before my surgery. And I remember him telling me, you know, we have a game plan, and this is this, you know, I'm in the surgical room. And it didn't bother me. Some people need to be sedated before they go to the surgical room. You know, when you start seeing the tables of surgical equipment and people in there, a lot of people are uncomfortable and they need to be sedated beforehand. And I didn't. And I told him, I don't want to be sedated or anything until we're right ready for surgery. And I was comfortable with that. I went through a lot of surgeries throughout my life, so it's what I was comfortable with. Remember, they got me into the different, you know, they put you on the surgical bed and things like that. I went from, you know, rolling you into the bed, and you go, you know, move over on the surgical bed, and my anesthesiologist. And I remember my surgeon looking up on the board, and this is what we're going to do. And I remember him saying that that's not going to work. He said, what do you mean? I said, because I think when you go in, it's going to be something that you're not prepared for. I think this is going to be a lot worse than what we think. We already knew it was bad. But it was my 100 million percent belief. You know, I knew it wasn't going to be good. It wasn't going to be a good surgery. I just didn't know how bad it was going to be. Then it got so bad they had to. And they told me after when I was able to go back to the surgeon's office during recovery. And they said it got so bad that I had to have surgical techs go into the pharmacy and get things, different kinds of sprays that they use for people who have been in really bad car accidents to stop the blood. You know, we're talking binding type of material, like fiber spray. It got so bad, and I just didn't use a little. They used cans of spray. They call it Tissel, I believe, T-I-S-S-E-L-L, I believe. It was a bad surgery. They weren't prepared when they got to see what was going on internally. They weren't prepared. It was bad. Now, the other surgeon was not comfortable. This is a director of specialty surgery in their field, and they weren't even comfortable operating. And had the main surgeon, his trauma surgeon, perform the whole surgery. This isn't a joke. It was horrifying. There was a lot of things going on internally that just brewed over time, you know. And we did. We prayed before surgery, and I was right. And he said, you're going to be like opening up the Jolly Green Giant, is what I called it. I don't think what you have planned is great, but I'm not sure if it's going to work. You know, these are things I shouldn't have said and I shouldn't have known, but I was adamant it wasn't going to be good when they went in, and it wasn't. It was not good at all. I was right. During surgery, it was very strange because when I went into his office, it was the second visit during recovery, and I told him, you know, I know you're a spiritual person, that, and I have to tell you this because I don't know who else to say this to, and I know what I experienced, and I've experienced things that I believe, which I don't believe I know now, as a gift. Some people have a gift to see and experience things that just can't be explained, but you know what you're experiencing, and there's no way you would know, but some people just have a special gift. But I remember telling him, I literally could see on top of cabinets in the surgical suite. And there was particular frames of things on top of the cabinets that I would not have known. you would not and would never be able to see, even on the surgical floor, and things that they were saying during surgery, and I saw myself. During that time, my blood pressure dropped, and they could not get the bleeding under control, is when they had to rush some of the surgical team to go and get things that they weren't prepared for, spray to stop, you know, to bind things and to stop bleeding, and my blood pressure dropped extremely low. And it got serious throughout a couple of times during surgery. It was one of those times that I literally, I still vividly remember to this very day, I was looking down. I wasn't like on the table, I was literally looking down. I was up higher than the cabinets. And these are very high cabinets. I would have not have seen the things that were on the cabinets. A particular clock, the time. Picture frames, with the picture frames had on them. There was an inspiring quote. There was a flower, a sunflower on a picture frame. These are things I would not have known. So he knew that it was real, what I saw. I remember him stopping me after I was explained to the end, and I said, you know, I don't want to sound crazy or anything, but I know what I saw. And he said, no. Don't ever think what you saw is crazy. Because throughout his surgical career, I'm not the first one who has came to him to explain things that would not make sense to someone that's not experienced. What I have in other patients is to literally be able to go outside of your body and, like, you're leaving yourself for whatever reason, you know, you survive. Surgery got to be really complicated and things could have got, you know, took a really bad turn. And I made it through, but I know what I saw, and he knew what I saw was right. I remember him just looking at me and shaking his head and smiling and saying, yes, you know, you definitely, what you experience is real, but I wasn't the first one. Just a handful of patients that he's come across in his career that, as far as he knows, as he said, there could be many more people, but maybe too embarrassed. They may be afraid that their surgeon may think they're crazy or something, but that have experienced things and able to look down the surgical table and see things that you would have not known. You shouldn't know because you're under anesthesia. I mean, and unless you got a parachute or you're flying or something or stuck on the wall, you wouldn't be able to see that stuff. I did. When my aunt passed away, I saw things that I didn't want to come back. I wanted to go where she went. And I was so angry and mad that I had to come back. Like, why can't I go with you? Like, you're letting me see what's on the other side, but I'm not allowed to go. It was like being pushed back. I don't think warp speed's even the terminology. I don't know. You know, I'm just hoping this movie, for me, you know, especially being older now and knowing that what I've experienced in my life is not a joke. It had reasons. There's reasons, you know. Had a loved one come to me before the holidays, and I'm thinking, like, you know, I'm having a dream or something and literally seeing someone standing next to me and getting frustrated with me that I need to really wake up. You know, because somebody's already taken their life. I wouldn't have known this stuff. And not getting into personal stuff, but when I had actually reached out to the person because it was such an urgency and I knew who I saw, it wasn't till like a couple months later, their loved one told me I was getting ready to commit suicide in the bathroom. And I saw your message that so-and-so who passed was trying to get you to stop me. And I wouldn't have known that at all. There was a reason for that. They needed to connect with someone. It's not a joke. This is the truth. So help me God. There's other things throughout my life. I had a grandparent passed away. I've never been to the cemetery before. This is when I was, I think it's right out of high school, I believe. For some reason, I was with a high school boyfriend, high school sweetheart, excuse me. Dated throughout, you know, high school. And I told him I know where my grandfather's being buried. Yeah, you wouldn't have known that. I didn't know. I shouldn't have known. I said, but I do. I remember driving to the cemetery and telling my parents, I know exactly where he's being buried, because he told me, because he wanted to make sure that this was a spot. He was adamant, he'd come to my dream. I need you to make sure, I need you to go to the cemetery, Kim, because I need you to make sure that I'm buried exactly here. Now, when you go, I need you to drive, and I need you to make a right, and then I need you to make another right, and I need you to go down this hill, and I'm going to show you this tree. There's going to be this tree, and there's going to be a tree, and I need to make sure I'm buried here. He was adamant he was buried in this location. He was buried in that location. And I would have not have known this, because I didn't know. He was buried there. I explained this. I remember to my parents driving, and as soon as before we got into the cemetery, I told him, you know, I know where he's being buried, because, you know, Grandpa told me where he's being buried. It came to me, I knew he's being buried. And I told him, you're going to turn right, and you're going to turn right, and it's going to be there. They didn't say anything. They didn't say anything. Because I just shouldn't have known that, but I knew. I've had other things throughout my lifetime that started at a very, very, very young age. Now that I look at everything I've experienced in life, do I believe certain people have a gift to connect with spiritually and people who have passed and things you would never have known? Yes, without a shadow of a doubt, yes. Do I believe there'll be people who will always be skeptics? Sure, but there's things that I've been through, and I've only gotten stronger in my experiences, and things that I've been handed, and I don't know why, but as I say, I always believe, and I believed this over the past year, that everybody's life is a blueprint, and that my life was already a blueprint. I wasn't going to be able to veer off at any point in my life. Especially when dealing with my health throughout my whole life and it being, you know, my health struggles were my greatest battles my whole life. I was never going to veer from that. And I did a hell of a job to stay on top of my health and save myself. And I have done it many times over. But I never would have been able to save myself or a miraculous miracle or anything. I don't believe that was ever the blueprint for me. It was not meant to be. It never was. But I believe things that I've experienced for reasons that be, I believe when we pass, we know. That some people get the greatest battles, you know. And there's a reason for it. I believe that. I'm hoping this movie, I'm able to connect and understand and be able to go, okay, somebody else went through something similar. Somebody else went through something similar. Somebody else went through something similar. I had a surgeon that I had seen since I was young, and I had a lot of abnormal bone growths during oncology, right before I started oncology treatments, and I had some abnormal bone growths, and they kept coming back in different locations in my lower jaw. I had to have an oral surgeon from when I was younger help out other surgical groups, and sometimes they even felt, because of his expertise and being an independent surgeon though, but he knew my case, to see if he was more comfortable performing the surgery. He removed a lot of my jaw and had to remove by the time I was done, we had to remove every single tooth in my mouth and most of my lower jaw and fill it with, you know, things that they do, so, you know, you can have some shape in your jaw again, reconstructive surgery, however you want to call it, cosmetic surgery, whatnot, and then, you know, you get your smile again, prosthetics, they're not dentures or anything, the prosthetics is different for me, but I remember, even with him, it was right after COVID, and he was sick, and I was getting towards the end of my surgical journey with him, and I'll be darned if we keep doing scans and we've got this strange bone growth, we go back in and we cut it out and it show up somewhere else. The time we were done and I'm having to remove everything and most of my lower jaw and rebuild everything and go to cosmetic surgery, you know, and rebuild and go back to him and whatnot. And he was sick, had this really, this cough, lingering cough, and they all thought it was COVID. He had COVID and, you know, it's just aftermath and, you know, just maybe long-term coughing, and talked about how many doctors and stuff. And my gut was 100% is cancer. Like, I could see what he had, but I didn't know how to say it without freaking somebody out, saying, I'm seeing this with you, but I don't know how to not offend you. You know, it was very strange. I ended up having to talk to a very close friend of his who had been surgical assistant the entire time. He had been practiced, and let me tell you, you know, he never retired. He wanted to take care of his kids' college tuition to have everything paid off. And then enjoy, you know, retirement home he had on a golf course down south. But I remember telling his assistant, like, you sure there's something not more? And I remember her saying, well, don't say that around him. I said, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, had they checked everything in his lungs? And I remember her saying, well, yeah, they ran everything. I said, could you please have him do, I don't know how you need to say it because I don't want to offend him, could you please have him get another opinion? I remember her saying, well, Kimmy, you already had two. They just said it's his long-term COVID. I said, no, I don't think so. I said, what do you mean? I said, I don't know. I just have this strange feeling. I have this very strong feeling that there's something there they're missing. In my mind, I was 100% this cancer. To say something to that effect and telling somebody that, listen, I've had things I've been able to see my whole life that make no sense to most people, but I don't know how to explain it, but it's just how it's been my whole life. I remember looking at her looking at me and saying, no, I'm going to bring this to his attention. Because, you know, it took me 17 surgeons, which are various cancer institutes and, I mean, really reputable surgeons, to figure out what the hell was going on with me, because my body was shutting down. It was the 17th surgeon that I realized was a professor at a hospital that figured out I had an ovarian tumor and this thing was ready to rupture and I was sick as hell. And I had a piece of tissue from an organ being removed, and this organ grew back and started functioning on its own. And there was a very nasty malignant tumor. This thing was, I mean, it was like the size of a cantaloupe, for crying out loud, bigger than a softball. It took 17 surgeons. If I wasn't adamant to help myself, I would have died way before I got to 17. A 17th surgeon, because my gut was so strong. But I remember telling her he needs to go talk to somebody because I think they're missing something. And when I came back and we had went over records and stuff, they had a transfer and things from oncology and we were setting up surgery and that, and it was like the second from the last surgery, you know, to remove everything and be done. Because we knew we have to remove everything so this abnormal growths weren't coming back. It's the truth. And his assistant came in and she said, you know, remember when you told me last that you felt there was something he missed and maybe he needed to get a third opinion? And I said, yeah. And she said, well, he did do that. And I said, yes. And she said, could you please not say anything or mention anything to him? But I just want to let you know he did that. And he found out he has lung cancer. He started treatments, radiation treatments and that. And he feels a little better. So he's back to work and he's here today. Now, he's lost some weight in that, you know. He's getting his strength back, but please just not say anything. But thank you for suggesting he get a third opinion, because he did. And they missed this. He had cancer, lung cancer. Had nothing to do with COVID. He got the treatments. He finished my last surgery. He was struggling. I told him not to finish my surgery because the treatments weren't working. The cancer was so aggressive and at that point wasn't caught in time. You know, I had time to progress. He was very weak. He was very tired, and his assistant helped. I'll help him through surgery, and she did. And he was adamant. He wanted to finish her case. You know, he wants to finish her case and a couple other special cases. He wants to close that file and finish the case. That was for him, you know, but for me too, because I didn't trust anybody else. That was the truth, you know. And, you know, he passed away a year later. You know, he did exactly as the assistant said. Once he gets to the point where he can't work anymore, and he's going to keep working until he can't work. And one day he just canceled all his appointments and closed the office. And he spent time with his family and loved ones. And I wish he would have gotten the time, you know, and retired earlier and enjoyed, you know, the beautiful photos he showed me of his, you know, golf course retreat, retirement home with his wife, and Bill spent time with his kids. But he did what his heart and his passion led him to do, which was to help his patients and help make a difference in their life. And I don't believe in my heart to hearts he would have had it any other way. But that's what I mean, is when some certain people can sense things and they're able to see things that normal people don't ever get to see, sometimes never. And there are some people who experience it. And then there's the people that are afraid to talk about it. I'm hoping this movie breaks the stigma that brings more people like myself and others who've experienced things throughout their life that they're afraid to talk about because of being chastised or told, oh, you're crazy, whatever. These are things I've went through that would have no other explanation. This is the truth. This is everything, the truth, so help me God, what I'm saying. You know, another part of it for this podcast, and I hope everybody gets to see that movie. I mean, it's supposed to be an amazing movie. I'm looking forward to seeing it. But like I said, I'm really looking forward to be able to see, is there other accounts of people who have gone through similar things that I have? Am I the only one throughout my life who has gone through things that I feel a lot of parts of my life where I feel like I could never connect with people and share the story because it's, you know, of what I've gone through and different things I've gone through, and they've all been different. Would ever be able to, like, I never felt I was able to connect with people. I think I've maybe less than a handful of crossed people in my lifetime that have gone through similar things to be able to go, wow, you went through that too. But it's not many. That's how many people really are holding back of what they experienced, a fear of being chastised or belittled or, you know, mocked or whatever. And it's really not a joke at all. I mean, how else would you explain things? I remember going on a trip. I think it was Fort Myers. I believe it was with Eric or it was Vegas. And we're at an airport. And we're getting ready to walk into the airport. And there's this lady with her mother, her elderly mother, and she was in a wheelchair. And I just kept looking. And I kept looking. And I remember telling Eric, and I said, man, you know, I felt so drawn to tell her, don't leave. Don't leave yet. Because your mom's getting ready to pass away. Her time is very limited. Don't leave. I still feel bad to this day of not walking up, but how are you to tell a lady, hey, listen, could you please spend additional time with your mom? I don't even know if this is her mom, but I know this is her mom. And I'm seeing this playing like a movie script of what's happening. And her daughter's in town spending time with her mom, but her mom is getting ready to pass. When she hugged her mom goodbye, and I kept looking back, I remember Eric going, what is it? And I said, you know, I can't explain it, but she's not going to be around much longer, and I feel like I need to tell her you stay. Can't explain that, you know? Moving into a small town and going up to a store, you know, an old store, and not wanting to park in front of it because I see what happened. There's this guy who has passed and was killed instantly, passed away right in front of the building, right there, steps. And I'm seeing all of this, and I know what happened. And literally walking in and telling, realizing you're telling the owner, you know, family member, you know, the owners of, listen, did somebody pass away in front of your store? I mean, to literally tell the person what I was seeing. I mean, the first thing that they said underneath their breath, thinking I didn't hear it, she's a witch. I'm a witch? No, I'm not a witch. There's a difference. I'm not a witch. And of course, you know, people who know me well, I wasn't gonna let that go. I'm not a witch. I remember looking at him and saying, oh, I'm not a witch, but I know what I see in front of your store. I mean, this is what I see. There's something happened for your store. And the more I explained it, the more they were in shock. And I've talked about this before, that I literally verbatim, not even from the area, never been this place, and I literally saw what I saw. Because I saw the person got killed. I saw them. And I felt how they felt. And it wasn't just that. It was young, you know, young boys and people who had worked in this, you know, place in this area, and their suspenders and laughing and up in the rafters and laughing, you know, because they're taunting and teasing, you know, one of the owner's family members. And that owner admitted to me they had problems with their register and things were happening and they could not explain it. And they always felt like somebody's watching. And I said, yeah, because they're laughing at you. They just want you to lighten up and ease up. It's nobody's going to hurt you. They're definitely part of that register acting up. They're looking down. And they have suspenders on. And I could tell what era they were from. And you're talking about an area surrounded by floods that did a lot of destruction and killed a lot of people. It went from assuming I'm a witch, which I don't know the beliefs in the area, but I'm not a witch, to understanding that now some people just have a gift. Doesn't make you a witch. It just makes you special and different. Because I wouldn't have known those things, trust me. But it's things like that, you know? I'm hoping this movie makes me be able to take a deep breath and go, okay, I've seen a lot throughout my life since I was young, really young. My grandfather passing away, I get woken up, you know, young, and all of a sudden he's coming next to my bed and he keeps waking me up. And I mean, I literally seeing him and he's like, you gotta let your mom know I'm okay. Just let her know I'm okay. I'm here now. I'm okay. Go let her know I'm okay. I'm going back to sleep. Or I just remember closing my eyes and then I look over and he's still standing there. Can you let her know I'm okay? I literally had to go to my parents' room and the door shut. I have to go up next to the side of my bed, my mom's sleeping, and wake her up and go like, wake up, mom, wake up. What? Grandpa said he just wanted you to know he's okay. What? What, Kimberly? He just wanted you to know he's okay. I remember mom looking at me like, I shouldn't know what to say. I know what I saw. Another family member, I had a grandmother pass away and I had her music box. That music box played after she passed, before her funeral. Had a rocking chair, her favorite rocking chair would rock. And the relationship I was in at that time, I wasn't the only one who saw this and heard this. They saw it too. They heard it. And they were a believer after that and knew it was my grandmother because it was nobody else. The part that really got me was one night I'm just sleeping and I'm woken up by somebody as if they're brushing my hair. I knew it was my grandmother. And then the music box played. After her funeral and she was buried, things slowly started stopping. But I know she's still around and present in her own unique way. I believe that. I know that. The last part, you know, I don't think I've ever talked about this, because it's a part that it's like, I have discussed this with less than a handful of people, but I know what I experienced as a young child, and you know, things of literally, it was so terrifying. I would literally run to a sibling's bedroom, and they had no idea until they almost stepped on me. I would be sleeping on the floor next to their bed. I wasn't sleeping in my room. And times I would have to sleep in my room when I experienced a situation that wasn't. I don't know how to explain what it would be. I don't know. And I'm not going to try to figure or try to say it or what it is. But I know what I saw and how it was connected. Now that I'm older, I know how it was connected, because I had to ask somebody questions, and then I got the connected pieces of it made sense. But things that I had experienced scared me so badly. I would have to sleep. I would literally sleep in anybody else's room next to the floor. And I did. I slept on the floor, hardwood floor, in a sibling's room many, many times. Because of some really dark energy, and multiple silhouettes of really, really, really dark black, cold black. I mean, the color is not even dark enough. And these people just kept telling me they were shot. And it was so many people, and it was so many different types, but I knew their descent, I mean their ethnicity, you know what I'm saying? I know where these people came from as I got older. I talked to therapists about it, therapists in Ohio, and my trauma therapist, and they were adamant as you what they knew what us who I saw, the people, and how they were connected. They found it fascinating. But for me, it was terrifying. It had to get to the point where I knew what they wanted was an apology of how they got killed and how they got shot. And there were so many of them that got shot. And they were so upset, and they were stuck. And they knew I could help them, because I was connected in a way, all I can say. They needed the closure to be set free to move on. But as a young child, you understand that. It would get to where a lot of times it would be so many of them. Now I know and understand what I was experiencing. I mean, I couldn't even scream if I wanted to. I felt complete silenced. And then when that negative, dark, really dark energy left, then it was, and then I literally would run out of the room and sleep in anybody else's room but my own, because they kept coming back. And it was so many dark, dark shadows. I wouldn't say shadows, I don't know what it is. This has taken a lot for me to talk about this. I'm not gonna delete this podcast at all, because I've always wanted to talk about this, and not just to less than a handful of people that I have shared this to, because this is important. I'm hoping somewhere along that in that movie that somebody else has experienced what I have. It's not a positive thing to experience. It's I don't have the words for it. There's not enough words. I don't think there'll ever be words to describe it. The darkness has no color. It's just so dark, and it's sad, and it's horrifying, and I mean, you know, I knew when I got older where they came from and what they were looking for was an apology. And there was a lot of them connected that they knew each other. And these were people who died that got killed. And they got killed in a war. And I didn't know and realize this until I got older. And I started remembering bits and pieces, and I would be able to explain this to a therapist out of state, I was seeing, and then to a trauma therapist. And I didn't feel so uncomfortable and be able to finally share everything. Because the people, when I slept next to their bed at the house, well, they will remember. They remember running in and being terrified. I won't go back in that room. These are dark, dark, dark shadows, and there were so many of them that they would literally take the whole room up. And these were people that got killed. A lot of people. And it made sense. Now that I'm older and I had time to think about it, you know, and with time you make sense of things that you experience in life that make no sense, but really they do. It's just sometimes when you get older in that, you're able to connect the understanding of what you experienced. And sometimes it's not pleasant, because that's the only unpleasant experience I've ever had. That's the truth. I'm thankful that's the only unpleasant experience. Is multiple people, a lot of people got killed. And there's other parts that I'm just not comfortable really right now talking about. And eventually I feel like it needs to be said, because this is part of freeing myself of what I've experienced in my life. And this was at a young age, and it had went on for a while. I would literally sleep with the covers over me. I would literally make sure I would have stuffed animals around me to protect me. I'll be darned if these souls, and I know they're souls now, would come back. This person did this, you know, and they're showing me what happened. But I'm thinking, I couldn't understand. I'm too young to understand. I don't understand what you mean. They were adamant. If the person ever came around, it got really, really dark, and it got really, really scary. I don't have any other words for it. You know, I'm not comfortable talking about other parts of it, but I know what I experienced, and I know what it means now. I'm hoping that the movie, maybe there is someone who's went through an experience that was able and comfortable in sharing their story. With the director and those who created, you know, the movie, and this is, you know, factual stuff that people went through. And I know they said there's parts where it's medical documented of things that have been scientifically documented that, you know, would have no other explanation for what it is really what it is, you know. I'm hoping somebody else has seen and experienced that dark, dark, darkness that in many, many, many. And I'm going to say souls, because I don't know what else to say it. So I know I'm not the only one who's experienced that. And it's such a young age. And the thing is how it stopped was realizing what they needed from me as time went on and I got older, because it didn't stop. It started making sense of what they needed from me, which was closure of why they got killed. And just, I'm sorry, was all they were looking for, is I'm sorry. That's it. And slowly, it stopped. That's the truth. You know, so hopefully sometime I'm comfortable enough to talk about the rest, but this is the truth. None of this stuff's made up. Moving and buying a house, you know, where we did now, and it was just last week, you got the gentleman's voice saying good morning, and then the next day, a little boy's voice, I'm sorry, the gentleman saying goodbye twice, same voice, just saying it differently. Then on security camera the next morning, the little boy saying good morning. My alarm's going off, and little boy saying, good morning, in the living room. I don't have a little child, a little boy. There should be no little boy coming across security camera. I'm trying to keep you know, an eye on my cat, Lucky, who has congestive heart failure, and her heart, you know, issues are getting worse, and I needing to make sure she's okay, you know. And that way, if it triggers and she gets up and she's not feeling well, it'll trigger my phone. Instead, it triggers my phone and I'm hearing a little voice saying, good morning. Yeah. And a gentleman's voice, that's the same voice that's in the back security camera, back patio, just, what, a year ago, year and a half ago, is the same voice inside the house. I'm sorry, but you can't make this stuff up. I'll put the videos on. You can clearly hear them. And they're very distinct voices. Goodbye, goodbye. Two separate videos and little boy, good morning. You know? So do people believe in stuff like this? Well, I mean, stuff, because some people say stuff. There's a lot of people who don't. There's a lot of skeptics. I'm the person that, in my opinion, is you have to go through things. In some things, and not everybody goes through it the same way, but you have to go through things that can't be explained, and to be able to experience it firsthand yourself, by yourself, to really make you a believer, to understand that there's no way that this is like the only place we go, and that there's not an afterlife and there's not a heaven, and in my opinion there's a hell. I've always believed that. But I really, truly believe, and I've always believed this, is there's always somebody in every generation that has a special gift. You know, I know this because I've talked to people who have talked about their kids seeing things and hearing and talking to family members and knowing things that they would not and should not have known. There's no way they would have known. But in my opinion, that's the generation of the special gift, is to be able to connect spiritually with the soul and people who have passed and people who need help and people who are stuck in limbo. And do I believe that when you pass, you can get stuck in limbo? Yes, I do. If you don't make peace with things and have closure and make the closure and have the closure and the peace for yourself, and you do it for yourself and make sure you do it for yourself, I definitely believe that the soul gets stuck. That's my spiritual belief. Everybody's entitled to their own spiritual belief. Some people won't believe what I'm saying, and that's fine. You know, it's taken me a long time to be comfortable in my skin that I'm in, to know I know what I've experienced. And now it's like this movie's coming out, and I'm thinking, you know, I don't, you know, I'm that kind of person. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I've always been that person. Just let me, you know, experience for myself to be able to watch a movie. I'm hoping I'll be able to see another story of someone, a factual story, experience, more, I want to say story experience of what they've gone through, that be able to know that I know I'm not the only one, because I know I'm not. I just wish people weren't so uncomfortable to talk about it, you know? And we talk about UFOs, and people have seen UFOs, and so many people have, more people than what anybody want to say. And these are like high power, high ranked people that are too embarrassed to talk about what they've seen and experienced. So they keep it bottled up, and they walk around and they have this knowledge, and they're just afraid because they're afraid of being chastised and judged in society by others. Who cares? You're always going to have skeptics in life. And not just about this, but anything you go through in life. But you have to be comfortable in your own skin and speak up and share your truth. Most importantly, share your experience, what you've gone through, because it makes other people know that they're not alone, but most importantly, that it's okay to talk about it. You know, you don't have to hold it in. It's okay to share of yourself, you know, because you'd be surprised how many other people go, wow, I thought I was the only one, but you're not, you know. But spiritually, you know, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking spiritually, because I think religion and spiritual side, in my opinion, are two different, you know, parts of as a human being. You have the religious, but you have the spiritual side, being spiritually connected. And I've always been strong in my spirituality, more so over the course of the most recent years. I know what I've experienced, and it's not stopped. And this is something that's been since I was really, really young. And it's only gotten stronger as I've gotten older. As I have gotten older. So I can't wait to share and be able to talk about the movie when I see it later today. And I'm hoping I'll be able to share and be able to say I know now that I'm not the only one who has seen and witnessed and have experienced the things I have throughout my life. 99.9% good. And then that 1% that wasn't, you know. So we have to remember, you know, no matter what you go through in life, you're never going to be alone. There's always somebody else. Sometimes they're just afraid to speak up because they're afraid of being judged or made ridiculed or made light of, you know. But don't, you know, speak up, share your story, share your truth. Because then you realize you were never truly alone.